Proverbs 21, verse 4, "An high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin." Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us to see this, Lord, and just help us to do again. Get us some help here, dear God. I pray that we'd be humble enough to take a look at this in area of our life and along with other things that we've covered and taught. And Lord, help us not to become so haughty in heart that we just feel like that there's nothing the preacher can say or no Bible verse that can sway us, move us, or change us. We're where we're at. We're satisfying. And Lord, dear God, that certainly would be the result of pride. And as we examine this sin tonight, I pray that you'd help us to scour the recesses of our soul. I pray that we'd allow the light of God's Word to examine every cubbyhole and every corner. And Lord, if you can help us root out and seek out and find an ounce of pride in our hearts, I pray, Lord, that we'd repent of it and turn from it. Make us better people, Lord, for you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. We're going to look at this subject of pride. I think I've told you this illustration numerous times, but that's what happens when a pastor preaches and pastors in the same place. And so we repeat things. But I want to thank God for a college professor that I had when I went to Bible college by the name of Dr. Carl Laurent. Godly, godly, godly man. And I appreciate having the opportunity to take his classes and be under his influence. Probably of any other professor at the college, he's the one that reminded me most of my dad. Maybe that's why I was drawn to him. I remember the first time I asked him if I could get a little counsel from him. I needed some advice in some areas of my life, and he said I'd be fine. He said, "Jerry, could you meet me at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, room 139, down in the bottom hallway, Howells Anderson College?" I said, "Absolutely, 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock. Man, why did I ask counsel from such a godly man? Next time I'm going to find a slothful man and ask counsel from him." So I got up bright and early, got my shower, got my devotions, and got down there and showed up to the room at about 6-7 minutes till 6 o'clock. And I went over to the classroom door, little window there, looking into the classroom. I looked in, there's Brother Laurent, and he's walking back and forth, and the light's on, and he's in this classroom by himself. And I start to open the door and charge on in, and he looks over at me and says, "Hey, good morning, Jerry, good morning." And he kind of looks at his watch like this, and he said, "Hey, and then I told you 6, right?" And I said, he said, "Could you just wait outside, and then I'll come get you at 6? And I said, "Sure, sure." So I shut the door, and I'm thinking, okay, he's just in there by himself. And then I began to watch, and he wasn't in there by himself. That man was walking and talking to the Lord. And I don't know how long he had been there before he talked to me, but I'm sure glad that I went to somebody that day that talked to the Lord for a while before he talked to me. Got some advice from God before he tried to give advice to somebody else. And that was maybe give you a little picture into the heart of this man. When I was a freshman, I took one of his classes. One of the first assignments he gave this freshman level class was an assignment in this matter of searching the Scriptures and looking at what it has to say about pride. And he said this. He said, I'm going to give you freshmen an assignment that I'm going to give you in your Bible college career in my class. He said, "I want you to go to the book of Proverbs. I want you to look up pride, proud, and proudly in your concordance. I want you to write out every verse, and I want you to tell in a short paragraph or so what that verse says about pride. And I want you to see if you can find one thing that the Bible says good about pride. One thing in the book of Proverbs would say that would be good or even neutral about pride." And I went back to my dorm later on and got my concordance out and sat down and completed the assignment and wrote it out. Got my laptop out. In 1979, I can assure you there was no laptop. We used something called a pen and paper back in those days and wrote out my assignment, got it all ready and to turn in the next day. And I'll be honest with you, God helped me that day. And Brother Laurent helped me that day. Because you know what he was saying to a bunch of young freshmen coming in? He was saying, trying to teach us something right off the bat. And that is this. There's no good thing about pride. There's not a good thing in the world about it. I heard a preacher say this one time. He said something about he was proud of something. And then he stopped and said, "Now, I don't mean the bad kind of pride. I mean the good kind of pride." And I sit there and listen to that. But the problem is, see, I've been back to that study since Brother Loran. And I haven't just looked at the book of Proverbs and what it says about the word pride. I've been from Genesis to the book of Revelation. And I can tell you this. There is no good kind of pride. There is not. I'm not picking on that preacher. I think he was being sincere. But there is no good. You know why? Because before you'll use the phrase pride, you'll use the phrase I. Before you use the phrase pride or the word pride, you'll use the word I. You know what you tend to say? I sure am proud of you. I am proud of you. Well, you know what that does? That wants to claim a little ownership in that. Sure, I'm proud of my kids. Now, listen to me. You say, preacher, you don't tell your kids you're proud of? Watch this. No. Why? Learn something from the Bible. I don't have anything to be proud of. I'm thankful for them. I appreciate them. But I'm not proud. By the way, some of you are looking at me like a cat looking at a new gate. This is good. By the time we get done tonight, I hope you don't use the word. Now, somewhere along the line, I'm going to slip up because it's become such a part of our vernacular, and you'll probably, before it's all said and done, hear me say what I said I seldom say. But I really honestly steer away from that word because you know what? The minute that I'm proud, I sin. Let me say it again. The minute I'm proud, I sin. I heard a young man say this, been about 4 months ago. Not in this church. Young married guy. Nice kid. Now, I'll give him a little bit of a hard time, as I'm prone to do to people, and having a little fun with him. And finally, I kind of zinged him a pretty good one, and he said, come on, preacher. He said, young man's got to have his pride now. And I didn't say anything to him because we were having, kind of picking on each other a little bit. So it wasn't time to jump his case about it. But I thought, yeah, young man. I think I had this thought, young man, you don't get that thing taken care of at some point, it's going to cause you some problems. Going to cause you some problems. Now, where do you get this idea? Why do you view this so sternly, preacher? Because when we study out this word, the proud man, in the verse of Proverbs, in the book of Proverbs, you don't find any positive thing. Matter of fact, you see something that the Bible has identified as a sin. And you see something that puts you on a road that's going to result in a lot of problems and a lot of shame and some destruction coming into your life. So please open your hearts. I think that we need to rediscover humility and the importance of it in our lives. No man ever got saved who didn't get humble first. No man ever got saved. You know what? Humility also always precedes salvation. Man can't come to his arrogance and claim the gift of eternal life. You'll come In repentance, you'll come in full awareness of what you are compared to what God is. You'll come under conviction. You'll come in humility, or you won't receive salvation. A proud man doesn't walk up to God and wrest from Him salvation out of His hand. Humility precedes salvation. Humility precedes sanctification. You know what? Before you're going to clean your life up and get it squared up to the way it ought to be and where it ought to be, It's going to require you to look at yourself and realize, guess what? You're not perfect and you haven't arrived. If you're sitting there and, you're the couple that has the family in the church and you just hope that everybody has a chance to observe you and somehow the rest of the church, maybe one of these days, will attain to your greatness, then you need this message because you're in trouble. By the way, listen to me. Whether you realize it or not, your kids are in trouble. They're in trouble. They're in more trouble than you know. And so please listen very carefully to what the Bible says tonight. Number one, we're going to establish something just out of the gate. A lot of verses quick because we want to nail this thing down. It is a sin. Number one, it is a sin to be proud. And high look, a proud heart, and the plan of the wicked is sin. I don't know how the Bible can get any plainer than that. Move in your Bibles, please, with me to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 5. Proverbs 16 and verse number 5. Preacher, I don't have to look through the Bible. I don't have to turn the pages. Matter of fact, it's closed, sitting on the pew. Why don't you be humble enough to pick your Bible up and do what the preacher says and look at the verses? It could help you get over that. Amen. I'm looking down here, so I don't have to embarrass some of you. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 5. Notice this. Everyone that is proud in heart is what? an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Wow, that doesn't sound like a very good thing. So it's not only a sin, but God cranks it up a notch and says, no, it's just not a sin. A proud heart's just not a sin. It's an abomination to me. How about Proverbs chapter 6? Let's back up to there real quick. Proverbs chapter 6. And there's a list of things that, again, the Bible identifies as an abomination, but it goes even farther than that. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 16, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination to him. So it's not only a sin, and it's not only abomination, but it's a sin and an abomination that God has a hatred towards. Think about this. Now, what's the first one? Verse number 17. What's first on the list? A proud look. Lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. And heart that divideth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among the brethren. I don't have time to teach this, but if you want to look at that for a meditation and learn a little extra here, I'll let you do it. These sequence of sins a lot of times fall in progression, in the order of progression. And number one's there for a reason. You know why? Because pride is the beginning point. It's the engine that's pulling the rest of the cars here. It's what's starting to train down the road. And that's why God does never makes a mistake in His Word. If He listed that first, He listed it first for a reason. And God says this. Now let's just establish it. Let's get it down. You know what? Proud heart is a sin. A proud heart's not just a sin, it's an abomination. Twice called an abomination just in the book of Proverbs. And we're not going outside of the book of Proverbs tonight. Trust me, if you want to extend this study, you'll be more and more appalled at the idea of pride. Not only is it a sin, not only is it an abomination, twice called in the book of Proverbs, but it is identified as a sin that God hates, an abomination that God hates, and it is the first one listed. So already I'm thinking to myself, you know what? This is not something that ought to be a part of my life. I don't want to sin against God, so I don't want to have a proud heart. I don't want to be guilty of an abomination. We're going to probably do a study on the abominable man. Okay, not the abominable snowman, but the abominable man in Proverbs. It's fascinating what the book of Proverbs just identifies as abominations to the Lord. Say, preacher, is there a difference? You better believe there is. Now, sin, there's no good sin. But I'm going to tell you something. When you start throwing the list together of abominations, then you're talking about something, you know, it means that's deplorable to God, something God detests. He abhors it. He hates it. It's an affront to Him. It's an insult to Him. And for us as men to lift our hearts up in pride, to have a proud heart or a proud look, God sees that as an abomination, an affront against His very personage and character. And so examine your heart carefully, Christians, please, for this sin. If we find a sin and we're convicted of this sin, what is the next step if we want to be right with God? You want to help me, class? We ought to repent of this sin. I mean, repent of this sin. Because that's how we're to properly respond to sin. And so here this is. Here it is. Pride. Not a good thing. Sinful thing. Abomination. First on the list of the sins God hates. God has established this. Not good. All right, now if you will, go to Proverbs chapter number 8. Proverbs chapter number 8. I'm going to take this one more step further, and then we're going to give you some principles, some warnings concerning this sin and what it leads to. Proverbs chapter number 8, verse number 13, not only is pride a sin, and not just a sin, an abomination, not just an abomination, it's on God's hate list, number one, but and not only does God hate the sin of pride, He expects us to hate the sin of pride. Proverbs chapter 8, verse number 12, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. And so God is telling us that if a man has two characteristics, if he has wisdom and he lives in the fear of the Lord, Well, one of the evidences of his wisdom and the fact that he fears God is that he will join God in hating pride and arrogancy and the evil way. Let me look up here. Let me help the church here. Let me help you with something. Most of the time we do hate it. But we tend to only hate it when we see it in someone else. God's not talking about hating it when you see it in someone else. God's talking about hating it enough so that you scour it out of your life. Isn't it interesting? When we see pride, we abhor it. We hate it. We condemn it in everybody else. It's wrong for everyone else. And yet we live with this hidden cancerous sin in our hearts. Now, preacher, kind of explain this to me. What are you talking about? When I'm talking about pride, I'm talking about this. I'm talking about it creeps into our heart that somehow we're better than somebody else. We're better than somebody else. Come on, church, let it settle in. We wouldn't say it out loud, but we really think we are. We're just better than certain people in this church. We're just better than certain people in the community. We're just better than certain people from different countries. We're better than certain people that have different skin color. We're just better. We're better than somebody else. Our kids are more important than other kids, people's kids. We're more valuable to God. Come on. Come on. All of a sudden, we just kind of honestly walk. We may never say it, but we walk around with this kind of... we're even so good, we have a right to talk bad about others. Because we're so much better than them. Other people need to get right. Other people have problems, and other people have sins, and other people are a mess, but not us. I think I'm all of those things. Okay, pride wants to find somebody else to compare ourselves to besides God. Because if you do that, pride has to flee. It's always looking for somebody a little less. We don't want to look at somebody that maybe is a little more advanced or a little more grown or a little more close to. We don't want to look at that. We want to find somebody that's a little less than us so we feel good about ourselves. Watch this. We want to be right. Always be right. Okay, we're right. We're right about this. Let me just ask you a question. When's the last time you were wrong? No, honestly, it's a good question. Can you think back? Was it yesterday? The day before? Have you been wrong in October? No? Can't find it? How about 2012? Just any shot, any time. Anything you did that was bad enough where you ever had to say sorry to somebody or sorry to God. Anything. Anything? Say, preacher, you're being facetious. I promise you, I'm not. I promise you, I'm not. I'm preaching right now to people that have not gotten on their knees and confessed a sin to God and said, I was wrong. I was wicked. I need you to forgive me, God. Has never from their heart voiced that phrase and that thought to a holy God since January 1st, 2012. No sermons ever hit you? No truths ever compelled you to repentance? Every conflict that you've had, it's always been the other person, never you. P-R-I-D-E, pride. Pride. Are you getting this? Let it sink in, church. Come on, help us. Help us. Preacher, why make a big deal about this? We're about to see. We're in trouble. You get on this and you're setting yourself up for some heartache and some trouble. Here, let's look at what the Bible says. Let's continue on now. See, God says pride's a sin, and it's an abomination, and He hates it. And by the way, He expects us to hate it. If we're wise, if we have the fear of the Lord, we're to hate it. Not in everybody else. We're to hate it in us. Now, you say, why, preacher? Proverbs chapter 21. Let's look at some things. See, I believe that pride is the engine of the train, and it's got a lot of cars it pulls around. Proverbs 21, verse number 24. Look what it says here. Proud and haughty, what? Scorner is his name, who dealeth in what? Proud wrath. Pride leads to the sin of scorning. Remember we taught about the scorner? Remember the time we took on that? Remember God's reaction to it, what He said about it? How displeased He is? And yet, if you think about it, before a man ever scorns, because a scorner is somebody who will publicly mock, publicly challenge authority. Will mock both the messenger and the message. They just get in the habit of doing it all the time. And, wait a minute, where's that come from? Think about it. Where did that come from? Pride. And again, we've got to defend ourselves somehow from conviction. We've got to defend ourselves somehow from admitting we're wrong. We've got to defend ourselves somehow from the Scriptures and their assault outwardly and the Holy Spirit's assault inwardly. So what we do is every time we're confronted with something, we'll kill the messenger rather than bend our knee to the message. And so we begin to scorn, and pretty soon we become very, very jaded and very hurtful in the things we say, and we're always in attack mode and defense mode. And yet the Word of God comes to us. And by the way, folks, if my life doesn't agree with that book, there's nothing wrong with that book. There's something wrong with my life. I watch people spend hours in commentaries, trying to redefine one verse so that they can be right and God can be wrong. I see them charade in versions of the Bible so they can find one that changed the verse to their satisfaction so that they don't have to change their life. Help us. Pride. Pride leads to the sin of scorning. Number two, look at this, Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 3. This is going to be if you haven't sensed it yet, this is kind of a tough study. Just expect to get beat up a little bit. I mean, I got beat up in my office. Y'all can take it too, okay? I'm going to have this thing done in 35, 40 minutes. I just spent 3 hours on it. So y'all getting off pretty light, I think. Pride, Proverbs 14:3, produces foolish statements. A lot of people say a lot of dumb things because of pride. They do. Yeah, Jerry Ross is one of them. If you think back into your life, probably if you look at all the really, really dumb things you said, it was in a moment of pride. Proverbs 14:3, in the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. And again, so next thing you know, pride, you don't deal with it. You let it take root in your heart. You let it grow strong in your heart. And next thing you know, you're hypercritical of authority and hypercritical of the message of God and the messengers of God. And then, next thing you know, you're saying a lot of things that you shouldn't say. Foolish statements. You know why? Because I'm right. I'm going to be right no matter what. So pride produces a lot of foolish statements. Proverbs 28, let's flip over there real quick. Proverbs 28, verse number 25. Because pride causes a lot of foolish statements, it always ends up leading to strife. Proverbs 28, verse number 25. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. And if you'll look back real quick, think about that. Well, let that sink in before we turn away. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, stirs up the pot, just stirs up the pot. It's got it stirred up. Everything's good, everything's calm, everything's going pretty good. Then somebody gets proud, and next thing you know, they're stirring the pot. Proverbs 13, verse number 10. Flip over there, because again, we got this same thought. Pride always leads to strife. Proverbs 28:25. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. Proverbs 13:10. Well, you ought to underline this, highlight it. You see the word only? You better pay attention. Only by pride cometh what? Contention. Now, folks, I believe the Bible. I believe the King James Bible. I'm a Bible believer. Okay, so anytime I see contention and anytime I say strife, I can just tell you without even looking at it very close, there's some pride involved in this. Somebody's proud. There's some arrogancy involved. Now, look up here again. I'm not picking on you, but let me help you. At some point, you got to take a look at things. You're constantly fussing with your husband or wife. You're always into it with somebody at work. You know, you go through this cycle where you start a little miniature war in the church, and then it settles down. And about 2 months later, you got to start another one. And your kids and you fuss all the time. I'm just going to just suggest something. Maybe it's not the whole rest of the world. Okay, because until you adopt and clothe yourself in humility, you're just gonna run into problems all the time. Walk around with a chip on your shoulder, just waiting for somebody to give you a look that you can interpret as a challenge, or say something that you can sit there and think about it. What did they really mean by that? You just think yourself into it, because no one's going to say anything about me, and no one's going to look at me, and no one's going to... And next thing you know, pride is causing strife in your life. Now, I really mean this, folks. I understand the Bible says, as much as life in you, live peaceably with all men, and I understand that sometimes people will put you in an impossible situation where even if you want to live in peace, you're not able to. I mean, if somebody decides they're going to come to my front door about 1 o'clock this morning, I'm going to shoot them. Okay. You say, preacher, you don't mean, yeah, I'm going to shoot them. I'm just going to shoot them. Yeah. Why? Because I've had this loaded gun for a long time. Kind of itching for the chance, I guess. I don't know. I understand people can put you, I understand countries have put America in a situation sometimes where, you know what, we would rather have peace, but you know what, we have to defend her. I get that. But folks, there's a difference between the very, very, very rare attack that really means that you have to stand up and defend yourself, and this constant strife and contention that constantly seems to be in your life. And it's pride. You know, get a little baptism of humility. What if, you know, somebody says something that I can take either way, I'm going to take it the right way. I just am. Somebody looks at me like this, I'm just going to think they're admiring my hair. Just got a haircut. They're probably just thinking how nice my haircut looks. I should. Somebody says something that sounds a little smart. Honestly, I can't make much excuse for them. And they pretty much did it. I'm just going to say, you know what? I've had bad days too. A few times in my life, I shot my mouth off and then got about halfway to the car and thought that was stupid. I shouldn't have said that. And you know what? So what? Come on. You know, I've said before, you know, you say something bad about me, I'll say, is that all you got? Because I got a lot more stuff if you want it. Why are we always trying to defend ourselves? Somebody says something's not true, and yet there's 100 things that are true that could be said about all of us. Okay, watch it, folks. Watch it. Pride. It just you get all proud, and next thing you know, it's just like you're running up against everybody. Everything, innocent comment turns into a fuss. People walking around on eggs around you. You got to so carefully think about everything they say and how they say it. And don't do that to the people in your life. Don't do that. Okay, pride always leads to strife. And you know what? Look, if you want the next verse, Proverbs 11:2. And again, I think we have a progression going here. But pride then will eventually produce shame. And so God says this, listen, it's a sin, it's an abomination, I hate it, and I want you to hate it. But if you don't,
It's going to turn you into a scorner, which means you're going to start saying some foolish thing, which means you're going to be always into strife. And you know what? You know what strife produces in your life sooner or later? Shame. Proverbs 11:2, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Pretty soon, you're going to do some things or say some things or that's going to make you ashamed. It's going to bring public shame on you. And then after shame, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, I'm getting you through the scriptures here, and then we'll make some conclusionary comments and go home. After the shame comes personal destruction. Proverbs 16, 18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So we see this progression. Pride pretty soon, because we think we're so much better than everybody else, and we got all the answers, and we're always right, and everybody else is always wrong. Next thing you know, we get a scorner's attitude, and then we start saying things that are very foolish to say, and then that causes strife because of the things we're saying, and then strife leads to shame because we are wrong, whether or not we want to admit it or not. And then pretty soon, God begins to unleash destruction, and there's real life results because we won't deal with this sin in our life. Now, if you go in the way of pride, you go down the path of destruction. Because, see, God is only going to put up with the pride of man so long. I hope you young men get this, okay? Nobody ain't going to tell me what to do. I'm going to do my own thing. I know more than anybody. I know more than mom and dad. I'll show everybody one of these days, and you're going to go out there, and you know what you're going to show? You're going to show yourself a fool. That's what you're going to show yourself. And you're heading down the road to destruction. Oh, no, no, not me. I'm sorry. I've done this an awful long time. Bible's right and you're wrong. God's right and you're wrong. You're not the exception to anything. You head down that road and you're going to have some shame and you're going to have some destruction. And there's going to be real-time consequences that come into your life. And you know what? How much better is it just to be humble? Humility leads to salvation. Humility leads to sanctification. Humility leads to revival. But if my people, which are called by my name, shall what? Humble themselves and pray. So, preacher, can America see revival? Here's my answer to that question. Can Christians ever humble themselves in 2012? Can they, will they ever humble themselves? We act as if what's holding back revival is abortion or sodomy or Obama. And they're not holding back revival. Revivals have happened underneath the rule of tyrants. It's not sinful man. It's not the sins of the world. It's not the sins of the lost that hold back revival. If my people, which are called by my name, shall... See, some of you have got this mentality. I want to help you, and really, I don't care. I mean, I do. But if I'm not going to win the argument, I'm not going to win the argument, but I'm just going to tell you. Some of you got this mentality, this caustic attitude. You think the preacher is all about grading his sermons. Like, I go back after every sermon, and I grade it according to the number of people that come to the altar. Some of the best messages that I think help the most people, nobody came to the altar. Sometimes we do a teaching thing, and you know what? It's what it is. But I'm just saying, it's not a battle between me and you. It's a battle between you and God. It really is. I don't know how else to help you. It just scares me. It scares me that our young people aren't... They're not seeing enough humility. They're not seeing enough adults show them the way. They're getting poisoned by something that sometimes we want to look at the kids and blame the kids for, but they're being poisoned by it because of adult examples. We ever get to the point, Blessed Old Baptist Church, where the core members of this church cannot be moved, and cannot be shamed, cannot be convicted, and cannot be wrong? We're done. We're done. God will destroy this church like He destroyed Israel. He'll lead us in captivity like He gave His own chosen people over to the cruel hands of Nebuchadnezzar. God will not long stand for pride. He just won't. So you know what He does? He breaks that pride. He'll break it. Ain't nothing going to break me. Okay. I'm praying for you. I mean that. Because you so underestimate God. You so underestimate God. God can put you on your knees. God can bring you to repentance. I mean, don't get in a battle of wills with God. Okay? Let me give you one more thing. Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 25. This ought to scare us, parents. The Lord will destroy what? The house of the proud. He will establish the border of the widow. One of the things I think we better stay aware of as parents is we don't just put ourselves at risk when we refuse, to humble ourselves before God. We put our entire household at risk when we fail to humble ourselves before the Lord. Now let me read some verses to you and then we'll pray. Is there a better way? Yeah, there's a better way. Proverbs 16:19, better is it to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride will bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Proverbs 18:12, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Proverbs 22:4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Proverbs 3:34, surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. And one of the joys of I think, the ministry and the Christian life is to watch Christians who clothe themselves in humility. I'm not talking about fake pharisaical humility. I'm talking about the real deal. And to watch them maintain a humble heart and a humble spirit, and to watch God begin to keep all of His promises here. He'll begin to honor them. He'll uphold them. He will bless them. He will see to it that they're supplied with riches and honor and life. He'll give grace upon grace upon grace. And it's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful way to live your Christian life. Confess the sin of pride. Seek the character trait of humility. And secure the Lord's blessing. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that You'd help us. Not just to have listened tonight to this message, but to take what we've heard and contemplate it. Lord, I pray that there might be some that says, some people might say, I need more assurances of this. Lord, I pray they would do the Genesis to Revelation journey through the Bible, study out this sin. That, by the time you get done with that study, you find out it's just about the root of everything and every major judgment that's ever come upon mankind. Old Pharaoh drowned in the middle of the Red Sea because of pride. Because of pride. Lord, I pray that You'd keep us of a humble heart. May we study and seek out, may we memorize and meditate upon verses about humility and about being humble. May we guard very carefully our hearts. May we be careful, dear God, ready always, Lord, to bow before You. May we rush to admit our failures. May we freely confess our sins. May we seek the grace that comes with forgiveness, Lord. Keep this church, Lord, of a humble heart. Help us to learn to live lowly, not proud, not arrogant, not uplifted. Help us to understand, dear God, that You're everything. You don't bless us because of us. You bless us despite us. Lord, if any good thing happens, it comes from God. Lord, may we serve with a lowliness of heart. May we, Lord, do all that we do. Lord, in wanting You to receive the honor and glory. Help this church, help this preacher, dear God, not to be a hypocrite, to preach one thing and live another. Help me to be careful, dear God, and aware of this. My own life, I pray in Jesus' name.